So we're going macro and micro on the economic story later this morning. Within the next 2 hours, the unemployment rate is going to be announced for last month. Lee Story, business reporter for the New York Times, is here with our macro view of who in that number, and it's expected to rise, is going to be temporarily unemployed and who is maybe looking a little more permanent. And also Femi Oke is here, takeaway correspondent, who's actually been looking on sort of the micro level into the faces of some unemployed workers who have a grim future to contemplate. First of all, Louise, what do you expect from the Labor Department number? And are we going to get into double digits, you think?
Good morning. So most people think that it's going to go up, that unemployment is going to go up further to maybe 9.9%. That's a net loss of 175,000 jobs in October. So this is becoming a worse and worse problem. Most economists think this will go on towards 10%, staying up around 10% through the end of next year. So, you know, we're really seeing the financial recovery has begun with the banks, but the real economy for most Americans has not.
And the real economy, as our good friend Lakshman Achuthan, the economic forecaster, says, this is a lagging indicator. The real economy is actually behind the developments on Wall Street. And yesterday there was this huge rally. Any sign that the lagging indicator is getting some positive indications?
So yesterday they released new jobless claims, which did decrease a little. They went down to 512,000 for the month, but most economists say we need to see that go below 400,000 before it's really going to have an impact. And the interesting thing on this lagging indicator is that in earlier recessions before the 1990s, employment actually picked up very quickly. So in 1983, which is when it was this high, there was a giant burst of employment that helped get us out of the recession. But in the last couple, in the early 90s and the early part of this century, it's been lagging, and it looks like we're going to really have a jobless recovery again.
So if we're going to have nostalgia, it should be for the 80s.
For the 80s.
Think of Journey, not,
right.
The 90s bands.
That's right.
What demographics do we need to be concerned about? Because Femi's been looking at one in particular.
Well, you know, the housing market has been a crucial part of this problem. So looking at construction jobs is an important part. There's also some spots we could look for some positive hope, for instance, like healthcare, since we're having a lot of money that's going there.
All right. So, Femi, okay, you actually went to in search of some of the demographic data points in the unemployment figure that maybe represent permanently unemployed folks. What did you find?
Well, I was at the New York State Labor Office. It was one of the Lower Manhattan branches yesterday. They call it a one-stop shop. So the idea is that you don't just process your unemployment check there, that you also get some career consultation, some training. There are classes there, help with your resume. Maybe you have to redirect the industry that you're in and maybe retrain for something else. So that's the idea of the one-stop place.
So who did you meet?
I was in the resource center, full of computers, printers, lots of resources there. And I met a lady called Meredith Robinson. She was an administrative assistant. She was laid off from J.P. Morgan after 20 years.
Directly a result of the recession and the financial meltdown.
And I make no judgment about who was out there in the room, but Meredith did. She actually pointed out that there was basically an age range of the people at the resource center that day.
When you look around the room, sometimes you see a lot of people in their 40s and 50s, and you're like, where are the young people? Did they lay any young people off? I hate to call myself middle-aged, but it seems like a lot of middle-aged people are out of work.
Does that sort of jive with the statistics in the unemployment rate?
We are seeing middle-aged, or I'm sure they don't want to be called middle-aged, but we're seeing that age group, 40s and 50s, having trouble.
So is age an impediment?
And experience.
These are impediments.
You'd think if you had a resume that was 10 pages long, 20 years of experience, that people would be dying to have you in their workforce. But Janet Wright hasn't had a job interview for a year.
Well, I'm 58. I've been working since I was 14. I have a lot of experience, and the more experience you have, it's not good.
You can hear the demoralization in her voice. So what do you do if your resume is great and you have experience?
Janet started to take things out of her resume. She's trying to she's trying to cheat so that people don't know that
by taking stuff out of the resume.
Yes, she's downplaying
it. That's astounding.
Another piece of advice that the people who have been out of work for over a year, like many of the people that I spoke to, have been told is, why don't you start your own business? If age discrimination is a problem, why don't you start your own business? Frederick Duke has been been unemployed for around about a year. He's thought about that, but he says sometimes you can't do it. And I said, well, how do you know that anybody's actually even discriminating against you because of your age? Because you know you're not allowed to do that. And this is what Frederick had to say.
Nonverbal communication. You have various facial expressions by the particular employees. Now, I've been looking for positions that have not been in my field, and they say, well, you're in an age category, but they don't come out and say it.
Well, from facial expressions to the broad unemployment rate, there's a macro and micro view. Femi, okay, thanks so much. And Louise Story, thanks so much. The
Thank
unemployment
you.
Rate comes out in about 2 hours, expected to rise.